Welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Busy, busy day. Want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, former Red Sox infielder Lou Maloney is also part of Flashback Friday. Spent 10 years in the majors, 6 with the Red Sox. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good. I wish it would start getting, the sun would come out soon, but we're doing all right.
You guys are getting better weather down there than we're getting up here, that for sure. But, hey, tell us about the offseason. A lot of changes with you, a lot of changes with the broadcast. How are you adjusting the things, and tell me about all that.
Well, it's been good. You know, I think there's probably a handful, I would say about 4 guys that are really taking over more like the play-by-play along with Joe Castiglione. So I think it was a little bit of a surprise when Tim Nevin had left. So the company kind of looked differently at it and at the position. They pretty much left it up to me because, you know, 2 to 6, I do the show every day, and it was, hey, as many games as you can do, we'd love to have you. And so I can kind of pick and choose and spend time with my family, not making too much. So I do about 35 games this year. So it'll be, it's nice, you know. Tonight we got Sean McDonough in there, which is always a blast, along with Joe. So it's really gone well here so far this year.
Lou, you mentioned you do the radio show at WEEI from 2 to 6. What was the thing you learned about the media when you entered the dark side?
Yeah.
That they have a job to do. You know, that it's not personal, that everyone's, you know, when you're on the radio and you know, it's almost, I always said, like, your opinion, but it's your opinion times 10. You know what I mean? It can't just be like, I'm not really sure if I like him or not. It's got to be I hate him. So I think when I got on that side of it, I realized that negativity, the negative stories kind of push radio. Like, when things are going great, no one's calling in. No one's emotional because it's good. You know, but when things are failing, when the Celtics, I mean, the Celtics are a bigger topic than the Bruins. And the Bruins are in the cup. But because the Celtics were such a disappointment, people are upset. And they want to voice that opinion. So, you know, you learn that it's the negative stories. And that's the reason why you turn on the radio and you think, why is it all negative? Well, that's the stuff that people are emotional about.
So go ahead and say it, Lou. You're wishing that the Bruins didn't make the playoffs, the Patriots went 4-12, and the Red Sox were in last place. That's what you really want.
No, we got the best of both worlds. We got the most disappointing team in the league in the Celtics. And the Bruins are in the cup, so everything's working out well.
You know, you keep saying the Celtics. What are they saying about Gordon Hayward down there? Because I said right when they signed him, it was going to be a waste of money. I can't even pick on him, because every time I do, everybody says, he's been hurt. He needs time. It takes like 10 years to heal from what he had. I don't know what's going on. What are they saying down there about him?
Well, there are definitely some people that, you know, we'll continue to sit there and say, well, he's had a massive injury, and you know, he could retire 5 years from now and never be the same player, and he'd still make the excuse for him.
Right.
So, I don't know at what point. Maybe we got to wait another month into the season of next year, maybe 2 months before we start calling this the worst contract in Boston sports history. because to me, I see a guy that physically I still think was okay. I think it was mental. I think mentally, you know, he lacked confidence. Mentally, he didn't know where he fit in. He's a guy that's been in the league a long time. He acted like a little scared rookie at times. He wasn't the same. He would have been the difference maker, and you just hope that a healthy offseason, he can come back with confidence and be an all-star, be that caliber of a player, a playmaker, because he sure as hell wasn't this year.
Lou Maloney joining us as part of Flashback Friday. Every week, every Friday, 5 o'clock, we talk to a former Red Sox or Yankees player. He's here with us now on the huddle on 101.3 The Game. Lou, the Sox have 4 World Series titles since 2004. You weren't a part of any of those teams.
Oh,
do you ever sit back, and I don't know if jealous is the word, but do you ever sit back and resent that you weren't a part of that success?
2004, you know, I mean, my last game in Boston was Aaron Boone hitting a bomb at Yankee Stadium in 2003.
Yeah.
So, you know, that following year I was in Cleveland. I had a great year, you know, and then, I mean, I had a lot of fun in Cleveland. But, you know, you get back in October and you're sitting down and you're like, man, I've been here for 6 years. I was drafted by this team. And some guy, some lefty at the trade deadline got picked up and he gets a ring and gets to win a championship in Boston. You know, and it's like, really? I grew up here? So, I mean, but even with that, there's still a lot of guys on my team that I play with. All those guys that I was so happy for. And as a kid growing up around here, it was awesome. But yeah, I think that year I was just like, really, a year away, I couldn't be part of this. Since then, it's sort of like I've been in the media. You know, I got the call the last 2 World Series championships. You know, I do the playoff games, so that's been a lot of fun to be part of. It is amazing how different it is now compared to you know, leading into 04, that's for sure.
You know, Lou, we talk about you and a lot of your teammates and guys that you played with that won rings. Another guy that didn't get to win a ring who you played with was Nomar. And the further we've gotten away from Nomar, you know, we're 20 years away from Nomar being a batting champ in Boston. How good was Nomar up close and personal?
Well, he's probably the best all-around player I'd seen, you know. I mean, I definitely played with. It's just, it was amazing what he did. And, you know, the parallels with Pedroia, and it's so funny around here now, like, people are, like, sour on Pedroia, you know. It's like they just want him to go away, and I'm like, man, you know. And it, a lot of that to do with some comments with Machado a few years back, but it's so similar in that the first 3 or 4 or 5 years these guys are here, you wanted your son to play exactly like that.
Yeah.
They gave it everything they had every single time running down the first base. I remember, you know, Nomar had some leg issues, and Dan Duquette said, you know, you got to take it easy and be smart and not go so hard. And he's like, I won't do that. Like, I can't do that. So he barreled everything. I was with him the 2 years, 1 year, 376. I mean, it was just amazing to see a guy that if it was anywhere close in the first pitch, he was going to hit. He was that good. But, yeah, it's been a while. It's a long time ago.
Lou, you know what? Let's take you back to the golden days. Let's say I take 20 years off your life now and put you back down with the Red Sox. You're playing, and you see a guy taking up your playing time by the name of, like, a Jackie Bradley Jr. who's hitting, like, .140 soaking wet, for crying out loud. What are you saying to yourself? What are you thinking? Hey, I got to get out there. You can't keep having this kid get out there when he's hitting .140. Get me out there.
Well, I tell you, when it comes to Jackie, I'd probably sit there and say, well, I'm nowhere near the offensive player, defensive player that he is. So is my offensive, offensively, am I making up the difference? You know, I always felt you got to knock in more than you let in, you know, as far as defense goes. So with him, I look at the side of Alex Cora, because I know a lot of people say, we got to get rid of this guy now. He can't hit. You know, Alex Cora comes in here. If I'm Alex, I don't really care what he did the years before, because I think I can fix him.
Right.
So he struggles all the way to mid-June last year in a .170. Well, the second since that point, he hits .282. It's a steady offense, and I think I got something that clicks. I think I tangibly I saw something that clicked. So he's my guy. And then you come in this year, and you're like, whoa. Oh, so this is what they're talking about, huh? He does this every single year. So as long as they're winning, as long as that bottom of the order is hitting, guys like Chavis and Devers and Christian Vasquez, he's going to stick with them, because honestly, I don't think there's a better alternative coming off that bench. Everybody on the bench right now is in 100.
Lou, Arnie's so focused on the present. I'm all focused on the past, so I'm going back again. We just talked about Nomar. What was it like to see Pedro in his heyday back in, you know, 98, 99 with the Sox?
Unfair. You know, that's the best way I'd put it. Like, that was one of the great moments, playing second base with short behind Pedro, and we actually see he and Tech kind of go through a game, you know, and the way they attack hitters. And really, the tail end of Pedro's career, he's throwing 92, 93 miles an hour, and he's such a smart pitcher. He's able to adapt. And it's like, imagine that stuff. Imagine a guy with the best fastball in the game, you know, throwing 97 as a starter, you know, with one of the best changeups you've ever seen and one of the better curveballs you've ever seen. And it's just, it's almost like when he got hit, it just blew your mind. You're like, how does that even happen? It was such an amazing run those first 3 or 4 or 5 years in Boston. It was ridiculous.
Lou, who did you pal around with when you were playing? Who were like some of your teammates that were really close friends of yours?
Well, the card game in the plane was Trot Nixon, Brian Daubach, and Jason Varitek. You know, we were like the B card game, maybe the C or D card game. I don't know, but I'd say on the plane, those guys, and obviously Nomar as well. And so it was, you know, I came up with Trot. We were drafted the same year, so it was, I've known him for quite some time, and Tech as well, and Dauber. So that was pretty much the crew.
Lou Maloney joining us, part of Flashback Friday on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. You mentioned getting drafted. You actually got drafted by the Red Sox twice, I guess, after your junior year at Providence and your senior year. Just fate meant to be, no hard feelings after you don't sign the first time. How did that work out?
Well, actually, it was the 36th round, so it was one of those, the first time around, it was one of those, like, I thought I was going to go a lot higher, and I just wanted to finish up school, and they really didn't make it worth my while. But the scout that drafted me the first time retired that off season because he had said some things, you know, hey, we drafted you because we thought you wanted to play baseball, you know. And at that point, my father kicked him out of my house. So I wasn't I wasn't too happy with that comment because I did want to play baseball. I just didn't want to give up my degree for a few thousand dollars. I'm not stupid. So I graduated. They changed scouts. They drafted me again in the 10th round. My degree was in my hand, and it was, okay, now I can go and play free. So it was just I was happy about it. Listen, I grew up in Framingham right down the street, so if you drafted the first time, it was tempting. But it wasn't for me.
Yeah. After Boston, though, the Padres, Indians, Angels, mixed it around. How was it with those organizations?
Well, it was different. The first time I was away was in, I was in San Diego in 03, which was just heaven. You know, I mean, I'm in San Diego, National League style play. I play a lot of positions and double switches. I'm in every single game. Got to see the West, and then played against Barry Bonds, who I still think is the greatest thing I've ever seen live. I mean, I couldn't get over the stuff he was doing that year. But so it was nice to see that. And then going to Cleveland, really, after playing in Boston, all these markets, I felt like I was playing double A again, but getting a big league check. Because they had one or two or three guys like in the locker room covering the team, where you come in Boston and it's like five or six TV channels and 20 different reporters. So the attention wasn't there. You could just play baseball. So it was different. It was definitely different. But in Boston, it was so intense. And I kind of grew up here. It was something that I enjoyed.
Lou, we had Shea Hillenbrand on a couple weeks ago. He told us a story about how his manager in Toronto threatened to fight him because he didn't like him. then we had Swisher on one week as a former Yankee, and he's telling us a bunch of stories. I feel bad for the cop-out question, but you got to have a story that rivals those guys.
Come on.
Good God, a rival. No manager wanted to fight me. I wanted to fight a couple of them, to be perfectly honest with you. I remember Joe Kerrigan, when he took over, that was just an absolute mess of a season in 2001. And he was all into these analytics, and he'd look at the book and scouting reports. And I didn't play all that much, but we had an injury, so I started playing a lot, and I was swinging the bat well. And I had actually hit a couple of three home runs in a week. And I think I have like four in my career, right? Like, I don't even hit home runs. I was so locked in. And we're down to Tampa Bay, and he's like, "You're not playing today." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like 10 for my last 20 with homers. And he's like, "Well, Ryan Roop is on the is pitching, and you're 1-for-5 on him in his career, so the book got you." And I thought he was joking, but he was dead serious, And it was just, it wasn't a good experience. He wouldn't let me hit until I got a strike. Like in certain situations, I'm like, "Why are you even playing me?" Wow. Like 1-0 take, 2-0 take, 3-1 takes. One time, 2-0, he gave me the take, and I didn't pay attention. I hit a double off Bartolo Colon in Cleveland. I end up scoring a run. Everyone's high-fiving me, and he's mad that I swung away 2-0. And I'm like, what are we doing here? So that wasn't exactly a good mix for me.
I love it.
Lou, who is the pitcher you love to face?
Unfortunately, it's Tanyon Sturts. He's a local guy. He actually grew up in Worcester. He was down in Tampa, and, I don't know what the numbers were, but, I don't have, 80, 90 at-bats off guys. So if I got 22, 23, 24 at-bats off a guy, I think I had 12, 13 hits off of him. I can't explain it. I don't know why, but it's just I could get hits off the guy.
Lou, we'll get you out of here on this one. Since we do this every week, we like to ask people, who's a former teammate of yours that we should be trying to get in touch with? Who's going to be an entertaining radio interview that you used to play with?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. You guys, listen, Johnny Damon was always one of them. Kevin Millar, these guys, they're like now, Millar's now a media star, right? I mean, you follow him on Twitter. He's golfing with every famous person in the entire world. But those guys are always great. Millar's always great with the questions. I'd probably be leaning towards some of those guys. I'm trying to think of some of the other teams I was on, but those two right now just sort of come to my head.
All right. If you're down in the Boston area, Lou Maroney, you can check him out, WEEI, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. So, Lou, we appreciate it, my friend. We'll definitely have to go ahead and do it again.
All right, guys. Sounds good.